Well, it's been an unexpected year, hasn't it? In lots of different ways. And I'm just going to put this here so that I can grab hold of it when I need it. I've got too many hands. Oh, but I should say before I start that those of you who are here on your seats, we've got this little motto card. This is for the coming year. And we're going to be thinking a bit more about this on the 3rd of January. You can hang on to it then. Till then, but we know that certain people are here certain weeks and others other weeks, so we thought we'd do it this week as well. But it says, the Lord himself goes before you. And as we go into the new year, we do want you to know that. So do take that with you and use that for God to encourage you in this coming year. So it's been an unexpected year, hasn't it, in lots of different ways. Now we're going to think about the unexpected Christmas. What was it like at that first Christmas, the unexpected Christmas? There's lots of unexpected things that you might see at Christmas time. I Googled unexpected Christmas. Now, if you Google something, it's not necessarily a good thing to do because you're guaranteed to get a lot of things that you don't expect, aren't you? Don't you? And I Googled unexpected Christmas, and this is what I got from unexpected Christmas. The first of them was from a paper, a newspaper, The Independent. And The Independent said, 12 tips of Christmas, how to prepare for the unexpected and still make it special. This was this year's edition, and so they were talking about this year. And their number one tip for their unexpected Christmas was this. It was, what happens if you have too much turkey left over? Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think that was terribly unexpected, is it? Who has too much turkey left over at the end for most Christmases? Okay, actually, not all of us. Okay, maybe it's just us. Too much turkey. There's always days of trying to think what to do with turkey, isn't it? And so they gave some tips to what to do. Apparently this year, the farmers have fattened up the turkeys as normal, but because the households are smaller than normal, everyone will have far too much turkey. So I'm just warning you to be prepared just in case. So, unexpected thing. The second unexpected thing they suggested was how to cater for that unexpected vegan in your midst. Now, apparently, just in case that happens for you, this is their answer for it. I will tell you what it is. It sounds good. I need to try it sometime, but who knows? It apparently is Swede coated with sugar and mustard and roasted. There you are. Who knew? Apparently, that is a good thing if you're a vegan. I don't know. If you're a vegan here, you can tell me that is totally incorrect. But apparently, that's one of those things. We all have unexpected things at Christmas, don't we? One of the other things that Google came up with, the second thing it came up with, was this, which is a school which receives an unexpected gift. Apparently, some school in Wiltshire was gifted a brand new gym for the school. Someone phoned up and just said, would you like a gym? Now you can guess their answer. Yes, please, now give us a gym. Well, that was great, wasn't it, for them? The next one was an unexpected choir. Apparently the Dorset Choir has had an unexpected Christmas hit. Now I haven't actually heard of it. Has anybody here heard of it? No, so it's not that much of a hit, but never mind. Apparently, there's, according to the local newspaper down there, it's actually the BBC News, the local BBC News, the Dorset Choir has an unexpected Christmas hit. Well, have a think. What's the most unexpected thing that has happened to you at Christmas? I'll let you talk among yourselves. Those of you at home can talk among yourselves as well just for a moment. What's the most unexpected thing that's happened to you at Christmas? We're having a think. Okay, we can't. I can't necessarily shout out some of the answers. It would be great to get them from you, but we're not allowed to do that. But we put the overheads up again. The thing that's most common is an unexpected guest. You have somebody extra come at Christmas, maybe a great aunt you didn't even realize was in the country. Maybe someone rings up the night before, tells you you're coming, you've got a bit of warning. But I don't know if you've had to do this, but when someone unexpected turns up, you suddenly have to create more food out of nowhere, don't you? And so you have either smaller helpings or something like that, but you have an unexpected guest. Maybe that's a really nice thing to have at Christmas. Maybe there's an unexpected presence. Maybe it's that car you've longed for all your life you get at Christmas time. I don't know, maybe an unexpected present that you didn't think. Maybe it was socks and you've never had socks before at Christmas. I don't know, an unexpected present. I'll tell you one thing that happens to some people today. They got unexpected snow. Apparently in the UK, this is officially a white Christmas. Did you notice? As you waded your way in through the water probably to get here. But some areas of the country had snow, so maybe it's unexpected snow. I remember one Christmas in Bath, we woke up and the kids had looked outside and said, snow! And we as good, caring parents went, no, there's not. But there was snow outside, it had snowed. Now the strange thing about that is we went down to our Christmas service in Bath, and we were living up on the hills, and about 2 or 3 meters down the road, the snow stopped. And so we turned up in the church car park with our car piled up with snow, and everybody thought, they were asking, have you put fake snow on your car? And no, we hadn't. It was genuine, it was really snow, unexpected snow. But best of all, was some friends of ours that same Christmas, and they looked out in their garden to discover there was reindeer in their garden in the snow on Christmas morning. Can you imagine how excited their children were that Christmas morning? Father Christmas had left his reindeer in the snow. Well, it was brilliant. So unexpected Christmases. Well, the first Christmas had many, many unexpected moments. Again, have a talk among yourself. What were some of the things you can think about in the first Christmas which might have been unexpected? Well, have a think. I will let you shout out in a minute, but have a think about this. Things in the first Christmas which were unexpected. If you're sitting on your own, my apologies. It's lovely to have people to talk to you. I'm thinking in your head about this. There's actually so many. Actually, the whole virtue of the Christmas story is unexpected. I'll put down some things which I thought of. And if you've got some of these, you can put your hands up as we go along. We'll see how many have got them. I think the first unexpected thing must have been the angel to Mary. I mean, you don't kind of see them every day, do you? Anybody get that? Angels? Oh, a few of us. Not very many. I think the baby was probably pretty unexpected as well, wasn't it? Mary was not expecting that kind of answer from the angel. So that was pretty unexpected. Anybody get this? Oh, a few of us as well. That's pretty good. We're getting there. Okay. I think the census was probably pretty unexpected. You're not normally asked to suddenly move at Christmas. And who knew a sudden government announcement on the eve of Christmas? Who would have thought that might have happened? Well, actually, we all know that does happen from time to time, don't we? So a census. Did anybody get that? Oh, a few of us. Okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. Okay. I reckon the shepherds were pretty unexpected. Who got that? Come on. Ah, yes, we finally got there. Loads of you. I think Mary must have been absolutely... Well, actually, I think they would have been pretty frightened because shepherds actually were there to defend the sheep against lions and bears and stuff like that. So actually, they'd have been really frightened when the shepherds came in. So that was not just unexpected. It was horrendously unexpected. They would have probably rather shooed them out, I think, these country people with strange accents, you know what I mean, having been there for years in the country, suddenly appear on their doorsteps. And can you imagine if you have given birth, that just after giving birth, you suddenly have a load of strangers in the same room? Not good. Not good at all. Unexpected. Okay, so probably wise men. Okay. I'm surprised more of you didn't get that. Wise men, of course. Well, can you imagine these? They were the top government advisors of the day from a foreign power. It's rather like having the US advisor, US presidential advisors turn up on your doorstep. That certainly was unexpected. And the last one, I doubt many of you will get, but I put Egypt there as well. Because anybody get that? Egypt, no. So there's lots of unexpected things in that first Christmas, weren't there? But in our passage that we read, there were quite a few unexpected things that happened. And I want to point out just four of them this Christmas, unexpected things at Christmas. And first of all, I want you to see that there was an unexpected promise, It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the light was life was the light of men. Now, that light was really, really important. Now, of course, light is important. I would love to have been able to do this today, but so many things about what we can do today which are different. But it would have been a great, wouldn't it, to have blindfolded somebody here and seen where they might end up, probably down the steps, and maybe not a good idea. But we can't do that. We can't do that, thankfully. But you'll know that in the dark, if you get up in the dark and you're stumbling around in the dark, it is really difficult, isn't it? But God made a promise. God promised that the light would come. Now, this is a bit like a web link. You know when you're on the internet and you press a link and it takes you to a different page? And the Bible has got lots of those links back to different pages of the Bible. And it's like a web link. Where does it link to? Well, it links to another Christmas passage, a passage we hear in our carol services, all about the light. It says, in the darkness, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. If you've ever walked in darkness, you'll know how desperate you are for a proper light to stop tripping over things. And at that time, there's a terrible situation in the country. And God was saying he was going to send somebody who would be the light. And here we are later on, in 2,000 years ago, and the light had come. God had sent his light into the world. But there was another web link. It's not just back to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 was a web link way back into the Old Testament, the early part of it, to Exodus, when the light would come and would lead God's people out of slavery, out of Egypt. You remember they were led out by a pillar of fire and by a pillar of cloud. And they were led through the wilderness to the promised land that God had got to them. What was God reminding them? At this Christmas time, he was reminding them that he had promised to send one who would be our Savior, who would lead us from the slavery to all the wrong things we've done and slavery to sin, and would lead us into new life and eventually eternal life with him. So first of all, it's a Christmas promise. Now, I've got something so you can remember these four things we're doing. And the first thing I've got for you to remember is a simple action like this. You cross your fingers, okay? That's a promise, isn't it? Or you could tie a knot on a hanky, but that's the easy one. Cross your fingers, that's a promise. So the first thing is a promise. God promised that he would send a Savior. It's an unexpected promise. Why should he do that? Because God loves you so much, he promised to send a Savior. The second thing is an unexpected person. An unexpected person. Now, if you go through the Old Testament and you look at what all the promises of this Savior that was to come, you'll see that the promises were all about a mighty Savior who was going to come, a king who would come in glory. Can you imagine when the shepherds were told that the Savior has come and you're going to find him in a palace? No. In the president's chamber? No. Where are you going to find him? You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Lying in a manger. And then they go and they see this baby. What an unexpected sight. You see, in this passage, it actually tells us that the Word has come. It tells us the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. What was the Word? The Word was the one who proclaimed at the beginning of time, who said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be land, and there was land. Let there be vegetation, and there was. He was the one who spoke everything into creation. And they go to see this Word of God, and what is he? He's just a little baby. And so there's an unexpected person as well. Now, we did the unexpected promise. Unexpected person is two fingers walking along, okay? So we're getting someone walking, okay? So you got the second action. Promise, person, unexpected person. Third thing was, we've got an unexpected power, an unexpected power. Now, how do you show power? Well, this doesn't make any difference really for you because I've got no muscles, but you can do that, okay? Don't laugh, Christine. Unexpected power, okay? So promise, person, power, because there was the baby. And the shepherds came, and what did they do? They worshipped him. They saw something more. What did they see? They saw the reality that this baby was actually the promised one of God. John says in that passage that we read that he who comes after me has surpassed me, is greater than me. Why? Because he was before me. He was from the beginning of time. Now, why did we have a little baby in that manger? Why that little baby? because God came to live the perfect life that we can't live. We can try ever so hard to do our very best, but we can never be right. But God came, and He has the power to live the perfect life, to not give in to any temptation all the way through His life. Why? So that one day He could go to that cross and He could die for us. And, you know, that's an unexpected power, a little baby. But it was important, because if He hadn't come as a little baby and lived that perfect life, He could never be this perfect sacrifice. And at Christmas time, when we see that baby in a manger, we don't remember the baby. We remember the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. And so my last bit is unexpected provision. Okay, here's your first action was, come on, show me, those of you here. Okay, promise. Okay, second action was person. Third one was power. Okay, He's got the power to save. And the last one is simply open hands. Because you see, what God does at Christmas time is He offers you this gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, having lived the perfect life that you can't live, to set you free, to lead you out of slavery, to be the light of your life. So this Christmas time, you can come to know Jesus as your Savior and can come to know the freedom that is truly yours in Jesus. Now, for some of you who are watching on the screen or maybe here, this is totally unexpected. You've heard the Christmas story, but you didn't realize that it's for you today. You're going to receive many, many gifts today. Maybe some of them will be unexpected gifts. But you know, the most important gift of all is the gift that the Lord Jesus gives to you. If you believe in Him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And He offers that gift today. Now, for some of you, for many of you here, this isn't so unexpected, because you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But I want to encourage you, in these unexpected times, He wasn't surprised by what had happened. He had planned it from all eternity. There was nothing unexpected about Christmas. Why? Because He set His love upon you. And maybe today you'll be on your own. Or maybe today, and I know there's folk watching, you will be on your own because you've lost loved ones during the year. Or you've lost those who have gone because of COVID. I want you to know that this day, Jesus has set His love upon you. He came to die for you so He could set you free from all of your sin, so that you would know His presence, so that you would know Him with you this Christmas day. So even if you are on your own, there is an unexpected presence, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we know there's so many unexpected things this Christmas. Who would have thought this time last year that we'd be sitting spaced out? Who would have thought we'd be watching from TV screens on Christmas Day? But Father, I want to thank You that there was nothing unexpected about that first Christmas, that You made the promise that You would send Your own dear Son, that He came in person to live in this world, that He came in power, able to live that perfect life, so that You could provide Him as our Savior. We thank You that so many of us have come to know the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ within our lives. Oh, Father, may we praise You this day because You set Your love upon us. So, Father, we pray that You'd lift our hearts as we leave in a few moments, that You'd bless us in all that we do today. For those who are on their own, may they know Your presence with them throughout this day. And, Father, Your comfort to them, we pray. Father, lift up our hearts to praise You in all that we do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish our time by a wonderful old Christmas carol, which is you can sing along to because you will know it ever so well, which is O Come All Ye Faithful. And as we remember His unexpected to us, but expected to Him, amazing Christmas gift, let's just worship Him together as we finish.